Football fans, welcome back to the Gronkcast, part of the Get More Sports Podcast Network. I'm your host, Chris Gronkowski, and I'm here with my co-host, Glenn Gronkowski.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 14, and thanks again for tuning in. Today in the Gronkcast, we are going to discuss our bulletproof picks, give you our BetDSI Cap or Cup picks of the week, bring back the fan question of the week, and also discuss what is going on with the New York Jets quarterback situation, who should be coaching number one draft pick, Baker Mayfield, as the Browns are desperately in need of a new head coach. And now that we're more than halfway through the season, we will tell you who we believe will end up with the new blinged out Super Bowl 53 rings. Also, Dez Bryant is back on the football field, and we'll be talking about what we think about that, especially coming from Chris, who used to be his former teammate. But let's jump into a hot topic around the NFL right now. Who is going to be the next Cleveland Browns head coach? Does anybody even want to become the Cleveland Browns head coach? I mean, I think someone does. I mean, they got a turnaround coming. They got Baker Mayfield in there now. And Bruce Arians actually came out and said that he would be willing to come out of retirement and coach this team if they want to hire him. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, so to answer your question, yeah, there is someone that wants to be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He came out. He sounds like he's pumped to be. He wants to be there, and I think that's exactly what they need, because the Browns, they are a good team. There's good talent on every team. You just need good coaching, and they now have a quarterback with key position that can sling the ball, that can be good, but he needs some kind of offensive mentor, and I think that's exactly what Bruce Arians is. I mean, this is a guy that when I was at Indianapolis, he came in, he brought this offense, high-powered offense, offensive coordinator there, offensive coordinators with the Steelers as well, and then went on to be a head coach at the Arizona Cardinals and had offensive weapons, was throwing for big yards. This is an offensive-minded coach, and I think he's exactly what is needed in Cleveland right now.
Yeah, I think whoever Cleveland hires has to be an offensive mind. I think Cleveland right now, they're pretty stout on defense right now. They're actually pretty dominant on defense right now. They've been drafting first-round picks for the last couple of years all on defense, so their defense is looking good. They're getting to the quarterback, which is the most important thing, and that's really what's going to help them win games. So they have the defense, I believe. They have the personnel that they need, and they also have the personnel on offense, but I think they just need a coach in there that knows how to coach Baker Mayfield and put him in positions that's going to help them win games, and I just don't think that they've done that yet. Baker Mayfield has shown that he can go out there. He can win games. He's leading a Browns team that hasn't won games in forever. He's already won a couple this year. So he's shown he can be a leader. The players are going to follow him. But they really aren't putting up that many points at this point of the season, especially with Baker Mayfield, that I believe they can put up. And I think if they get an offensive head coach in there, offensive-minded head coach in there, that this is going to change it around. They're going to start putting up points. And, I mean, the more points they're putting up, the more they have the ball, the less other teams can score. So all their defense really needs is a couple of stops, and they've been doing that all year long. So I think this team is really close to being a dominant team in the NFL, actually.
Yeah, they're 2-6-1. How many of those games could they have won just by having a field goal kicker?
That's true. I think the first two games, if the kicker would have made it, they would have won another two right there.
Easily. All close games. I mean, they just went toe-to-toe, my bulletproof pick, though, I mean, prevailed against the Kansas City Chiefs. They were in that game the entire time. I mean, a lot of people last year, I mean, that would have been straight blowout. This is a Kansas City Chiefs team that has just been running through teams, and it was a game, the whole game. I mean, they were in that game the entire time. But my one warning for any fullbacks in Cleveland is good luck if Bruce Arians comes in. Because when he came in to Indianapolis, within 1 week, I went from practicing, being the starting fullback, and all of a sudden, I wasn't in any plays. See you later. I was traded to the Denver Broncos within a week. This is a guy that 100% does not believe in using a fullback. So, you know, not my favorite offensive coordinator, but definitely knows how to get the job done.
Speaking of Kansas City, speaking of all these good teams that Cleveland has lost to, they tied the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are hot right now. Everyone was worried if they weren't going to be as good as they usually are. But they are. Cleveland really just is that good this year, and they could easily be a 5-3 team or anything. They could have a winning record right now. But speaking of those other good teams, let's jump into who we believe, now that we're a little more than halfway through the season, who we believe is the best three teams in the AFC and NFC. So you want to start this one off with your three best AFC teams right now.
Yeah, I think 2 and 3 are pretty close. I'm going to actually, in the number three spot, there's some good teams in the AFC, but I'm going to go with number three, the Los Angeles Chargers. This was a team that we were big on early as a Super Bowl odds. Not a favorite to win, a long shot, but we thought this was one of the best long shots to take. They look to be a great team, not just on offense with Phillip Rivers, but their defense is stout as well. They're playing really well. They look like a complete team. The Chargers right now, their next three opponents are 6-19. They're going to be looking at a 9-2 season with a chance of getting a home bye for the playoffs. I think they're sitting pretty. And I think they're going to be a tough team to beat. That's why I got them at the three spot over the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the number two spot, I'm going with Kansas City. We all know why. They have those offensive weapons. They have Kareem Hunt. They got Hill. They got Mahomes. They have Kelsey. They have an incredible offense that nobody can stop right now. But what they don't have is a defense that's stopping anyone. So like we saw with the Patriots, you know, big numbers. They put up big numbers. Patriots put up big numbers. Someone's going to find a way to stop them on offense, and they can't stop anyone on defense. So that's why I got them at the two spot. And the number one spot, I'm going with the Patriots. If you would have, could you believe it?
No, I would have never guessed you were going to
pick
them.
Yeah, I knew you weren't going to guess it after the first 4 weeks of the year, but it's true. Last time they were 2-2, they went on, they figured it out. They went on to win the Super Bowl. It looks like they have everything in line now. They got Edelman back. You know, I think they're unstoppable at this point. All the weapons that they now have on the team, good luck beating them.
I'm going to give you my three best NFC teams, and I'm going to start with number three. And I think this one might surprise a couple people, but I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm saying the Chicago Bears. I'm going to put them over Minnesota, over the Eagles, over Carolina, over Atlanta, put them at the number three spot, and I think they have a chance to be a legit team that makes a playoff run this season. Honestly, I haven't seen many Carolina games. Carolina might be a little better than them, in my opinion. Haven't seen many games on them yet, but they are playing Pittsburgh this week on the road, so I think they'll be a huge test for Carolina, and we'll see what they're really made of. But right now, I'm putting the Bears there. Because when Trubisky plays up to his potential, I think they are an unstoppable team. They have Jordan Howard. They have Tariq Cohen at running back. They have a legit run game. They can have a legit pass game. They have the players in place there. And they also have a legit defense. And they don't even have Khalil Mack in right now. When he's in, he's a difference maker. He's a game changer. He's shown that in the couple games he's played already. So I think this team, once they're healthy, once Trubisky lives up to how good he can play, I think this is a team that might make a possible playoff run late in the season. For number two, I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams. However, I'm a little nervous here. The Rams, we talked about this in the last podcast. They really haven't played anyone that spectacular yet this season. A couple of mediocre teams maybe. I think they might have played the Chargers and they beat them, but they are 7-1 now, and that's no easy feat in the NFL, no matter who you're playing. I mean, we saw that when the Buffalo Bills went on the road to Minnesota and blew them out. So no team is out of it in the NFL to go on the road at home every single week and go 7-0 to start off the season, to be the last undefeated team, show something special, that this team is special. But I'm a little worried about their defense right now. We'll see if McVay can help that defense out. He is an offensive mind. He knows how to score points, but defense wins championships. So I'm putting them at number two right now for that reason. And at number one, I'm going with the New Orleans Saints, who just beat my number two last week. Their offense is unstoppable right now. They have Breeze there. They have Thomas there. Kamara, Ingram. They just picked up Dez Bryant. That's just going to add to how good this offense is going to be. They're just going to continue to roll. But like I said, we know defense wins championships, and they are almost dead last in every single category on defense. However, I found this very interesting, is they do have the number one rush defense, only allowing 72 yards per game right now. And I don't know if that's a fluke just because they're winning every single week and teams have to throw against them. So they're just allowing all these teams to throw on them. They're not really running. But that could also be why they had the worst pass defense, is because teams are down and then Saints are up so much that they're just letting them get 10, 15 yards per play, move the ball a little bit down the field, just making sure they don't give up touchdowns and big long TDs. So not really sure about their defense right now. They did just go out there, only allowed 14 points in the half to the Rams before the Rams made a close, but they ultimately shut them down. I think the Saints defense is more legit than the Rams defense, and I think their offense just got even better with the addition of Dez Bryant.
Oh, Dez is back, just like we predicted early on in the podcast that Dez would be back. I'm actually surprised that it took this long for him to make it back. And I'm going to say I'm pretty surprised that it ended up being the Saints as well. I don't think they're a team that really needs help at the wide receiver position. Drew Brees is having one of his best years ever. He's crushing. Michael Thomas just went for over 200 yards, a new franchise record. So bringing in Dez was a surprise, but I think this is a huge addition for the Saints. And here's why. Dez, he's still in his prime. He's in his ninth season in the NFL. Last year, he caught 69 passes, almost 800 yards, and this was with a quarterback that really couldn't get the ball to him. He was also the number one on the Cowboys. He was drawing the best competition, double teams. I mean, he now has a guy like Michael Thomas across from him that all the attention is going to be focused on, and he should be able to thrive in this offense.
Yeah, I think this was a great pickup for the New Orleans Saints. And I don't think you know this, Chris, but they actually just had their backup, their number two receiver go down, actually. So they're without Meredith, they're without Lewis, and they're without Ted Ginn Jr. now. So really all they have on their team is Michael Thomas. I mean, he's going to get double coverage every game now, and then Tre'Quan Smith. So, I mean, you had to add another receiver, and who better to go out and get than a veteran receiver who has shown that he can be a legit player. I mean, he was even with that good of an offense last year. I mean, look how they're doing this year without him. But even last year, he had 69 catches, 838 yards, and 6 TDs with the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm surprised it took this long. I mean, there's other teams out there that could have used him. I mean, the Bills, they had the worst offense. I think their total offensive passing yards are around 120 yards per game. And that's just insane. The receivers probably only catching about 50 yards per game. And I mean, that's one catch for Dez Bryant half the time. So how these other teams did not take a chance on him, I'm not really sure. Chris, you play with him. You think it's his attitude problem? I mean, I see him on the sideline. He's getting fired up. I'd love to be on his team. That would get me motivated, ready to go. But I mean, what's going on with that? Why do you think this took him so long to join a team?
Yeah, I'm shocked because the talent is there. But you see him on the sidelines. You see him arguing, screaming, all that. But when I was there, when I played with him, he was just all about winning and super, super passionate about it. So when he's on the sidelines, when he's yelling because he didn't get the ball, it's not because he's mad. He just wants to win, and that's what I like about him. He's always fired up. Once he hit that field, he was 100% focused on being the best player that he can be. So I'm super excited to see what he's going to do. And as a matter of fact, did you check your email today to see if you got any notifications about him getting picked up in our fantasy league?
No.
Well, you should check it because I just picked him up.
Oh, well, did you even get him? We have a waiver wire. Oh, wait. You're in last place in our league, so you definitely got him. Usually you have to go through a process, and the worst team gets him, and the best team doesn't get him if multiple people pick him up. So congratulations. You, of course, got him. Congratulations.
It's definitely not in last place.
You might move up into second last place now.
Congratulations. You beat me because I forgot to start one of my players.
Yeah. Just win's a win. Doesn't matter.
And I'm definitely not in last in that. Every time you say I'm in last, I end up coming back and smoking you. So I don't want to hear it anymore.
You're right. But we'll see. We got another matchup coming up soon in fantasy football. So we'll see. But you got Dez now. We'll see. But going back to why it took so long, I think Dez was just waiting to be on a winning football team. I think he was in with the Cleveland Browns, actually, but in for a trial. I don't know if they offered him. What happened with that? I don't think he's really concerned about the money at this point. I don't think he was trying to get a big-time deal. Nothing crazy. I mean, he knows where he's at in his career. He's only actually 30 years old, I believe. So he still has a couple of years left to play if he really wants to. So, I mean, he's been in the league for a long time, though. I don't think at this point it's really about the money. I think at this point, when you've been in the league this long, you really just want to go out there and you want to get yourself one of those Super Bowl rings that you can have for the rest of your life. So I think that's what he was most concerned about. And I think he's got the opportunity to go out there with Drew Brees and this offense. And they're just absolutely on fire right now. I think this is what he's been waiting for this whole entire season. And he finally got the opportunity. He's ready to go. And he's been off for the last 10 weeks. His body's got to be feeling good. You think that's going to hurt him or you think that's going to help him? I mean, he hasn't ran a route who knows how long, maybe not even since last season. I mean, who even knows if he's been training, if he's been staying in shape, but the Saints went out there, took a chance. If he's been staying in shape, his body's feeling good right now, and he's going to go out there and fly by these defensive backs and probably make some big plays.
Yeah, I think he's – I mean, they brought him in, I'm sure, and they put him through a full workout. They put him through a tryout. I'm sure he's ready to go. He's still in his prime. You know he was training the whole time. I don't think it was – I don't know if it was a money issue because he ended up signing – a base salary about $1.25 million for 1 year, and they prorated it. So he's only getting about $600,000 for the rest of the season. They have in there a $500,000 incentive bonus for him. So really, this year, he can only top out at $1.1 million. So I'm thinking that he was holding out, really looking for a team that he can go and win championships on.
Absolutely. I agree 100% with that. And I mean, like I said, New Orleans Saints receivers just went down. They needed a number three. He might move up to a number two. Michael Thomas is going to be getting double coverage the rest of the year. I mean, that's just obvious. So they're going to need somebody else to step up. And this could actually be an insane opportunity for him. If, I mean, Michael Thomas getting double coverage, there's only two other receivers. He's got to be there. He's got to show up every single week. He's got to make plays. He's going to be a difference maker for this team, good or bad. So we'll see what happens with that. I think he's going to dominate. We'll see. He's going to be feeling good, like I said.
Let's jump right into this and recap last week's bulletproof picks.
Can we skip this?
I'm very excited to talk about it this week.
No, we can skip this one.
We went straight head-to-head. We bet against each other for the first time ever on the podcast, and it was on the bulletproof pick, and somebody came out on top, and someone crushed last week, and someone was a loser, and I think I know who it was. And I'm pretty sure I was the winner.
Yeah, you got lucky on that one, but I'll give it to you. You did beat me straight up, but the best part was Gord's bulletproof pick. Bro number one, his pick, Oakland Raiders on Thursday night against San Francisco. And the spread, I think, was -3.5 in favor of Oakland. And I don't know if he meant, I mean, I don't know if he understood what -3.5 meant. I think he might have thought 3.5 was the amount of points that Oakland was going to score. So maybe that's why he took it. I'm not sure, but they got absolutely smoked, lost by 31 points. He claims he was the best bettor of the year, 11-1, he said, in the last 2 weeks. And he probably had the worst bet of the whole week, but I'll give it to you. You got me head up on the bulletproof pick this week, but we made a bet with Gord. If he lost his bulletproof pick, he wasn't allowed on anymore. He lost. He ain't allowed on anymore. So I hope he had fun last week.
See you later, bro. The best part, you're thinking that he thought maybe it was a 3.5 over under on their points, and he still would have lost. That's even the better part.
That's true.
Get him off the show. He put it all on the line, 100% wrong. And my favorite part about his bet, too, was that his whole strategy, how he explained to us how he went 11-1, was he loved watching line movements. And the best part was he was putting this bet on the line the day of the game. So we got to watch the line movement. Well, we're always putting them in early. We don't get to see that movement. A lot of points change before these games actually happen. So huge, you know, advantage for him to bet the day of the game. And he still loses. So I don't know what to say to that.
That's true.
See you later, bro.
He has no excuses at all. Probably the most embarrassing pick that has ever, most embarrassing bulletproof pick, especially, that's ever happened. Ever, probably. So he's gone. He's not allowed on the show anymore. I hope he had fun. We might even not even tell stories about him anymore because that was so embarrassing to have him on there, putting that on the podcast, and that was just embarrassing. So we'll forget about that. We'll give Chris congratulations on your win last week against me. Heads up. But let's jump into this week's bulletproof pick, and I learned my lesson. I'm not betting against you this week. So who you got? You started off. You're hot right now.
Oh, baby. Yeah, not even just bulletproof picks. I mean, I've been crushing the last 3 weeks now. You like talking about how I'm last in Capper's Cup. That's definitely not true anymore. 4-5 last week, winning the last 3 weeks. So I know why you want me to go first in the Bulletproof, because you probably are just going to try to take it, or you're going to make sure that you don't bet against me anymore, and it all makes sense now. But this week, I know who I'm taking. Last week, I took the Dolphins. I won with the Dolphins. I took them because they were at home. It was a warm game. They were playing against the Jets. I thought they had a good home field advantage. But this week, the exact opposite. They're going to Green Bay. Miami has been horrible on the road. 1-8 against the spread in the last 9 games on the road. They're now going to play in Green Bay. It's supposed to be 36 degrees out. This is something that you cannot practice for. When it's that cold out, the balls are rock hard. You don't get that practice. It's almost impossible to mimic that environment. So for that reason, 9.5 points. I think the Packers gobble this up. The Packers are coming off a big loss against the Patriots. It's a bounce back game. You know I love bounce back games. Home teams coming back off a big loss. And we have Aaron Rodgers playing against Brock Osweiler. I don't think Green Bay is named Green Bay this week. I think it's named Bulletproof City.
Wow, that's a great name. I might have to go to that game and check out that city then. That's awesome. But I want to talk about a great point you just had. You're talking about practicing for the cold, and that's virtually impossible. There's no way to practice for the cold. But I do remember practicing for the heat, and they used to have us in indoor facilities, and they would crank the heat up to 90 degrees, and there would be 100 people in the indoor running around sweating, and those used to be the worst practices ever. You would just be drenched in sweat, but it got you ready for the game. When the game came, it was actually easier than practice was, because practice was just so insane. But you really can't practice for that cold, and there really is no way. It's harder to catch the ball. The ball's rock solid. It's harder to run. It's harder to stay loose. And it's just a totally different atmosphere. So I think that's a good pick right there. It's going to be an adjustment for the Miami Dolphins, who really this is their first time playing in the cold this year. So they're not used to it yet. I like that pick. I'm riding that pick with you. And you've been on fire lately. So we'll see what happens with that one. But for my pick, I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers in the toilet bowl versus the New York Giants. A 2-17 versus a 1-17. And I'm taking this game just because I watched that Thursday night game last week. I watched Gore get dominated. San Fran absolutely balled out with Nick Mullins back there, and he's starting again this week. This guy, after the game, got a call from Brett Favre in his first game ever played because he was just killing it. He was back there. He was comfortable. It looked like he was a veteran quarterback for San Francisco, and that he's been there all season long, doing this all season long. And it looked like he was on the same page. Like I said, he was comfortable in the pocket, making very little mistakes. But this also reminded me of last year when Jimmy Garoppolo came in and saved the San Francisco 49ers last year. He came in as a new quarterback, and he just started lightening it up. I think that's what Mullins is doing. They got a new spark now. I mean, their offense has been doing good, really. Doesn't even matter who's back there at quarterback. So I think this is just a well-coached offensive team. And I think Nick Mullins is there to bring new leadership and give a new spark of energy. And New York Giants trailing all the way across the country. It's hard to get up after sitting on a plane for 6 hours. You're tight. I mean, you're not really eating how you normally eat and all that. I mean, just everything is totally off when you're trailing across the country like that. You're losing hours of sleep and stuff like that. So it's going to be a tough game for the Giants, I believe. They are 27th in the league with only scoring 19 points per game on offense. So I think Mullins and the San Francisco 49ers go out there and put up too many points for the Giants to overcome and cover this one at home against a terrible 1-7 Giants team.
Wow, San Fran Chicksco, as Gord would say. The team he bet against last week.
Yeah, that was his problem. He bet against the San Franciscos.
Yeah,
that's why he never bets against
the Chiefs. We called him
out
against that, and for some reason he said it was opposite day, and he was wrong. It wasn't opposite day. He should have stayed with San Francisco. But I'm kind of worried about this pick, and here's why. I mean, this guy came out, Nick Mullins, he looked great. And I kind of did the same thing last time. Their second starting quarterback went out there and had a great game. And they got absolutely crushed the next week by the Rams. I lost that pick. But it has something to say about their coaching, like you said. It seems like no matter who they put in there, this offense is still rolling. So they got something going on in San Francisco. And pretty much any quarterback they throw in has looked good. What I'm worried about is now that this guy balled out, they now have some film on him. I think that they just Nick Mullins just surprised people last week. And now that they know what he's all about, they're going to study on him, get that film on him. And it's going to be a tougher game for him coming out this week.
Why you got to talk smack on my bulletproof pick now? I said yours was a great pick. You come in here, you talk smack on mine now.
Well,
just because you're on a hot streak right now, you think you're all good.
Because I'm the champ.
This is ridiculous.
We went head to head. I win no matter what I say now.
Well, now we're going head to head on this game. You're taking the Giants. I'm taking San Fran. We'll see what happens.
I have not taken the Giants.
Well, after those comments, it sounded like you were.
Well, we'll see. We're going to wait to the end and see what my Capper Cup picks are.
You want to jump into our Capper Cup picks of the week now? Our best five against the spread picks. You've been on fire lately. You want to start off once again since, I mean, you can start off everything this week just because you've been on fire. I think you won your last three bulletproof picks, 4-1 on your Capper Cup picks last week. Start this one off for us.
Yep, thank you. I've been waiting to talk about this all day. Yep, 4-for-5 last week. Up, winning the last 2 weeks. No longer in last place. If you're ready to go for a ride, jump on some of these picks because I think I got it figured out now. I just needed to collect some data, watch a few games, a few weeks. Now that we're halfway through the season, it's game time. So we all know I took the Packers as my bulletproof pick. Lock that one in. That's bulletproof city, like I said. That ain't Green Bay anymore. That's bulletproof city, so lock that up. Next, I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys against the Eagles. And here's why. Dallas is 5-1 against the spread in the last 6 games when playing on the road against Philadelphia. The Cowboys just got embarrassed by the Titans. Jason Garrett is fighting for his job. I love teams that are coming off a big loss. Teams that get embarrassed always come back. They fight hard, and they have the Eagles' number. I'm going with the Cowboys plus 6.5 on the road this game. Next, I'm going with the Bengals against the Saints. I know you have them ranked as one of your top 3 teams, but the Bengals are coming off a bye. They have the Saints' number. They're 5-0 against the Saints, against the spread, and they're 4-1 straight up against them. The Saints, we all know they just played the Rams. Huge game. They won. They're feeling comfortable. And now they're going to go play a rested Bengals team. The Bengals are getting 4.5 points at home. I'm taking the Bengals and the points in this one. Next, I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers, my number 3 AFC team. You know I'm high on them. They're playing the Raiders, who I think have just completely fallen apart at this time. I've played on an 0-13 team to start the season with the Colts the year that Peyton Manning got hurt, wasn't playing, and I know what it's like to have a season where it's just kind of falling apart. And I think that's where the Raiders are right now at that point. There's just nothing going for them. The Chargers have a great team. It's basically a home game for them. I'm jumping on the Chargers. Big spread. But I'm going to say they cover that spread easy. 10.5 points going with the Chargers. And last but not least, my number 1 AFC team. I'm going with the Patriots. Minus 6.5. They're on the road. But they're 5-0 against the Titans. They have their number. The Patriots have found their groove. They got Edelman. The whole squad's there. The whole squad is back. They're completely rolling. We all know what's going to happen. Another blowout city. I'm taking the Patriots, covering only a minus 6.5 spread. Who do you got this week?
This week, I'm starting off early. I'm going with the Thursday night game for my first pick. Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Carolina Panthers. Steelers at home, minus 3.5. Like I said earlier, Pittsburgh back to being a top team in the NFL this season after having a slow start. Their offense is just on point right now. They got Big Ben and Antonio Brown. They just continue to have the strong connection. James Conner, he's absolutely killing it, being one of the top backs in the NFL, rushing and receiving. And as always, they have a strong Pittsburgh defense right now that I think gets it done. at home against a pretty good Carolina team, but I really haven't seen much on this team. I think they might be a little overrated, and I think right now their defense might be carrying them a little bit. They're plus +8 on the turnover margin, but I think Big Ben goes out there. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers offense goes out there, and they take care of the ball, and they take care of the Carolina Panthers at home, minus -3.5. My second pick, I'm going with the New York Jets at home, minus -7.5 against the Bills. And to me, I'm not locked in on this one yet. It's still early in the week, but I'm seeing who the Buffalo Bills are starting this week. If it's Nathan Peterman, I am hammering that all day long. He's throwing 3 interceptions a game, guaranteed. It doesn't even matter. If it's Derek Anderson, still might be taking it, but Josh Allen might be back. I mean, Derek Anderson really doesn't know the playbook or anything yet, but Josh Allen, if he's back, definitely going to take the Bills, probably the other way. So we'll see. That depends on the starting quarterback for the Bills. So, but really, if Peterman's starting, how can you not bet that? How can you not bet against the Bills right now? This offense last in the league in almost every category, as I've talked about the last 2 weeks, taking them bet against the Bills the last 2 weeks, and it's been a win both weeks. So I'm going to keep riding that, keep betting against the Bills. We'll see how that goes this weekend. My third pick, I'm going against you again. Instead of on my bulletproof pick, we're doing it in the Capper Cups this week. Going with the Titans. Hate to do it. Hate to bet against the Patriots. But the Titans are looking good this year. I think they're the best team that nobody is talking about. They've shown that they can keep up with the top teams in the league. This game to me is really going to come down to the Titans' defense. They've only allowed more than 20 points once this whole entire year. They played pretty dominant offenses, pretty dominant teams in the Baltimore Ravens, Chicago Chargers, Jags, Texans, and the Eagles. So to only allow 20 or more points once against all those teams, I mean, against any NFL team really is outstanding. This team's defense is locked in. But to me, the Titans are a slow and methodical offense, and I think that's why they allow so little of points each week. They move the ball, but it takes about 7-8 minute drives, and then they end up putting points on the board. And when the other team gets the ball back, if they don't score points, Titans get the ball back. They take the ball another 5-6 minutes. I mean, that's a whole quarter right there. Another team hasn't even scored once, so that's how they get it done. Their defense is good, too, on top of that. So we'll see. If the Patriots can score, they can put up points. If they can stop the Titans on defense, which, I mean, defense is really where the Patriots are lacking. So we'll see if they can stop the Titans from these long drives. If they can get Tom Brady the ball back and let him score, then I think they cover. But the Titans continue to do what they've been doing all season. I think this is closer of a game than people might think. My fourth pick, I'll bounce back and I'll bet with you this time. I'm going with the Chargers also. Basically a home game for the Chargers. Nobody's going to be in those seats in Oakland. Only a couple hour drive away. I think it's going to be more Charger fans there than Oakland Raider fans. So basically a home game. Chargers and Coach Anthony Lynn, probably my favorite team right now. Once again, nobody seems to be talking about them either. They're 6-2. I think they're 6-2 right now. And their next three games, they are 6-19. So this team, this Los Angeles team, they're going to start off 9-2, possibly, if they do what they're supposed to do. And Oakland's just getting blown out every single game, week in and week out. Chargers continue to put up points week in and week out. I think the Chargers get this one done on the road, minus 10.5 against the Oakland Raiders. And my last pick, Nick Mullins and the San Francisco 49ers, my bulletproof pick, Monday night. This is also a bye week, basically, for the 49ers. They played last Thursday. They're not playing until Monday now. They got those extra 3-4 days of rest recovery. Nick Mullins gets to get more comfortable with his offense and receivers, get on the same page, learn the playbook a little more, and prepare for a second week in the NFL. So I think that's another benefit for the 49ers. Giants, like I said, traveling across the country. I think the 49ers dominate again on primetime television where Nick Mullins performs best.
He's only played in one game, bro.
And he's performed his best so far. So I'm not lying.
Oh, man.
But you did do this with Sam Darnold, too. You saw one game of his, and second week you put all your money on him, and they got destroyed. Even though he only had 190 yards passing, you thought he was the next best thing ever. So hopefully this isn't the case with the San Francisco 49ers as well. And I don't think it is.
I think it is. And I learned my lesson. And apparently you didn't learn it from me, because I watched one game. He looked great.
190 yards isn't that good. That was a defensive game against the Detroit Lions in the first game of the season. They had two pick sixes, and you're bragging about the quarterback over there with 190 yards passing and two touchdowns, saying he's the greatest quarterback you've ever seen.
That's impressive to get two TDs with only 190 yards, all right? Those balls were looking money. I guess it's pretty easy to play when you have a huge lead, though. And like I said, I'm worried about you because I jumped on it. I got too high after one game on one guy, and I think this might be a similar situation where there's no film. He came out, he surprised some people, and they're going to be ready for him this week.
Still betting against my bulletproof pick again. He keeps talking smack on it. We'll see next week when I get to talk smack back to you about talking smack on my pick, and that is very rude of you.
And then I'll talk smack about Gord again, so it will be great.
That is great, because he's never going to live that one down now.
And this week's fan question, it's coming in from at Andrew New on Instagram. What is your biggest bet you have made and won? Wow.
This is a great question. I mean, I don't bet really big, to be honest. I love gambling, but I don't put that much money on it. I just love the thrill of it, the rush of it. Just like to have fun with it, but don't like to put huge money on it where I'm getting scared the whole entire game and freaking out. So I like to have more fun with it than anything. So I'm not going to really tell a story about me. I got a better story. I'm going to tell a story about our dad, the creator, and his biggest bet of his career. And this was one huge bet that he had. He went all in on this one. Chris and Dan are playing at Maryland against number 3, Boston College. And Maryland's, I think every single starter on Maryland was out. Their best defensive player, the quarterback, offensive line, defensive line, three of the five starters were out on both of them.
Their number one tight end.
Number one tight end, Dan Gronkowski, was out. And, I mean, my dad was like, I got to take this. They're playing number 3 Boston College. They're going to get smoked. So, the game starts. Maryland starts winning. He's not worried yet. And all of a sudden, it's an absolute blowout. Maryland blows out number 3 Boston College with all their backups in. And my dad cries about this bet for about a week, and then 2 weeks, and then a month. And 3 years later, he's still complaining about this bet. So we're like, dang, how much did you put on this thing? So we're like all worried about it. It's 3 years later. Like, what's going on? He's still bringing it up. Finally ask him, how much was that bet even for? And he tells us it was for $250 or $300 or something like that. And we just start dying laughing where he's still worried about this $300 bet. It was pretty crazy when you look at it where, I mean, Maryland should have got blown out that game. It was at home, though, so you never know what's going to happen when a team's on the road. But number 3 in the nation, Boston College, against Maryland's backups, and Maryland blows them out.
Yeah, that was actually incredible. I mean, if I even knew what betting was at that time, I would have lost a lot more than $300 on that one. I could tell you that.
But
much.
You were on the team, and that is 1,000,000,000% illegal right there. You can't be doing that one.
Like I said, I didn't even know what sports betting was then. I'm glad I didn't. That would have added a lot of extra pressure on to my beautiful performances that I had. But I'll answer this question for you. My biggest bet and biggest win was, let's see, I think 2013, the Arizona Cardinals were 3-0. Everyone thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. They were going into Denver to play against Peyton Manning, and they were 3-0. So Denver had the lowest home spread of the year. It was set at 7 points, but the Cardinals were rolling in with a backup quarterback. So I saw this opportunity as bulletproof, and I laid it on the line, bet my house on it, because I didn't have a house, so it wasn't that much. And it ended up being a pretty close game in the first half. And then they came out and absolutely smoked them. By far my biggest take. Number one, that's when I learned what bulletproof was all about. And I've been bulletproof ever since.
You never said how much it was for.
Yeah, because if I said it, I don't think Dad would talk to me anymore.
Let's just say you would have bet your house, but you didn't have a house, And then after that bet, you somehow had a house. So that's how much it was for. That was a great bet. I don't know.
Thank you for the down payment.
I don't know if you've gotten that crazy since then.
No,
but that was a pretty good take right there.
After that, I realized that I'd rather just have fun with it instead of worrying about where I was going to get my house down payment.
Or not have a house down payment at all for 10 years. But I think that about wraps it up. This week's edition of the Grindcast, part of the Get More Sports Podcast Network. Thanks again for everyone for joining us today. Don't forget to check out GetMoreSports.com to catch up on past episodes and to also get the most up-to-date sports betting information. Thanks again for tuning into the Grindcast. And remember to subscribe to get weekly reminders of when our podcast is posted. And also ask us questions on Twitter and Instagram to be featured on future shows. That's it for this episode. We'll see you next week.
The Grindcast is brought to you by GetMoreSports.com and iShaker. So visit GetMoreSports.com after the show for more NFL insights, analysis, picks, and podcasts from us.
Also, check out the links below for more information on iShaker, the double-walled, vacuum-insulated, sweat-free, kitchen-grade, stainless steel best shaker bottle on the market.
We also want to thank BetDSI.com for sponsoring the show. BetDSI is the world's top sportsbook and has been online for more than 20 years. It's free to sign up. And if you want to start betting with real cash, BetDSI accepts credit card deposits. Remember, it's now legal in the USA, so go make some picks. Follow the links on our podcast page and use promo code Gronk69 when signing up at BetDSI.com. This promo code gives you 100% bonus on your deposit up to the first $500. So head to BetDSI.com and make a few bets on our picks, or pick your own. And remember to use code Gronk69 when you sign up.